You know, that's my theme this morning, how great God is. And then in the last half of my message or thoughts, we are to worship. How do we do in worshiping this great, magnificent God? You know, that's Brother Mark mentioned something like that. How are we doing in our worship? You know, that's something, how are we doing here at Joy in our worship? You know, worship, sometimes we think of worship. I enjoy the Sunday school service here. He's talking about, you know, worship. Worship isn't just about here in a church, at Joy. Worship is something we do every day. Every day we worship God. And then we bring a whole bunch of worshipers together and we worship corporately together. But you know, if we don't worship during the week, our Sunday service will probably be kind of dry. Because we need to worship every day to be worshiping God. Amen. Let's just pause and invite God again into our presence. Father, we just invite you to fill this place to full and overflowing. Father, as we look at how great you are, Lord, we know you probably can't even scratch the surface. But Lord, we want to look into your word and see how great thou art. And the great love that you have for us. And Father, that would just make us bow our knees before you and worship you and praise you and bless the holy name. Yes, Lord, we do just pray you'll be with each brother and sister that's here, those that can't be here, those that might be traveling or sick. You would just be with them and bless them. Father, we want your church to glorify and exalt the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, we look forward to when every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, when you come back to take us all home. But Father, we want our knees to be bowing to you now and professing the name of Jesus. Father, we just do pray, invite you in our midst. Fill this place with your power, your supreme power. In the name of Jesus, amen. We truly serve a great God. And, you know, there's so many different aspects of how great God is. You know, one of the first aspects we think of how great God is God's great love for us. So great that God sent his only son down to die for us. That's how great God's love is. What if you only had one son? Would you be willing to send your son if you're knowing he's going to be killed, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be spit upon? Would you be willing to send your son to rescue someone else? That's God's love for us. Here God is in heaven, has one son, and he looks down at us and he says, if I send my son, I can save them. Such love we've never seen before. And yet so many people turn this love away. You know, I just think about how much God loved us. I had to think of John 3:16. You know, some of you were at the wedding when we all said John 3:16 together last Saturday at the wedding. Janelle and Thomas on their knees saying the Lord's Prayer together. You know, it starts out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He only had one son and he gave his son for us. Because he loved us so much. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there's people that don't have everlasting life. There's people that are going to perish because they don't believe. But God makes it so simple. If we but believe on him, we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Let's say John 3:16 together. Can we? Can we do that? Let's all stand. Make sure we're all awake, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, and that's so simple. God's not telling us we need to do some vigorous workout. We need to They don't even hear, don't even tell us to repent. He says that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, Whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It's that simple. Okay, you may be seated. But God so loved us, a love that's so great, the greatest love that we've ever seen, God has loved us. And He's made it so simple that even a small child can come to Jesus and say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, so if somebody rejects Christ, it's not that Christ didn't pay the price for him. It's that they're choosing. People actually choose to go to hell. People choose not to put their faith in Christ. Because God has did everything he could for us. He so loved us. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, everyone, I don't matter what race, color you're at, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So simple. Amen. Like I said, to start with, I want to speak on how great and how amazing God is, how awesome God is, then that we are to be worshiping this awesome and amazing God. Take our worship maybe to the next level. And to start off with that, I would like to start in Genesis 1. You know, sometimes I think we overlook Genesis 1. But if you want to see how great God is, let's look at Genesis 1. I'm going to camp in there just a little bit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, can you imagine? There used to be now no heavens and no earth here. God just spoke the words, let there be a heavens and let there be a earth. And the heavens and the earth appeared. That's the power of our God. He but spoke the word. You know, sometimes we wonder, can God hear us? Can God answer my prayer? We're going to see how great God is, at least in a little bit. We can't comprehend how awesome and how great God is. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Can you imagine? It was totally dark. So dark, I think you probably couldn't see your hand. It was dark, it says. The darkness was upon the deep, okay? I like the next verse here. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What kind of light do you think God made? God made the sun. God but spoke, and the sun appeared. That's how awesome and amazing God is. How big is the sun? Anybody want to guess on how big the sun is? The sun is huge. Aaron, how much bigger do you think the sun is than the earth?
93 million miles away. Not sure on the size.
No, that's good, because it's almost too big to remember, okay? Anybody else want to take a guess? How much bigger is the earth? How much bigger is the sun than the earth? God said, let there be a light. And the sun appeared. We think the earth is big. How much bigger is the sun than the earth? 186,000 earth could fit inside the sun. Well, you would have a small sun then, okay? It says, a lot of these things I might tell you this morning are an estimation of what science is. Predicts or science calls. So don't hold me to it because nobody knows for sure, okay? But this is according to science. According to science, there are 1.3 million Earth would fit inside the sun. 1.3, you know how much a million is? 1.3 million Earths, like the Earth, 1.3 million Earth would fit inside the sun. That's beyond our comprehension. That's how God does. He blows us away. We can't even comprehend how great God is. And then God don't just make the sun, but he makes it so bright, fills it with gas. Like Brother Aaron said, how many miles away? It is 93 million miles away. I wrote it down here somewhere. I believe it's 93 million miles away, you feel the heat. Man, it's hot from 93 million miles away. And God just spoke and it happened. That's how powerful our God is. You know, God, and you think we think sometimes we go through something. Can God really help me? Can God really see me through this? God is much bigger than we can imagine. And it just, yeah, it's totally amazing. You know, 1.3 million Earths would fit inside the sun. And God made that just by speaking it, the sun was there. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And the day, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening, the morning was the first day. You know, we could keep reading on, and it just, the whole chapter is just on how great and how amazing God is. How he created. But I'm going to skip a little bit. I'm going to go over, and I know I'm just going to kind of touch a little bit on creation and how great God is. But I'm just going to share you what God's laying on my heart. I like the stars. At the summertime, I go out and I just gaze at the stars and I start counting the stars. Then finally, I stay at one spot and I realize I can't even count them. Then the longer I look, just with the naked eye, you see stars you almost can't see are stars behind the stars. And you look at the galaxies, you realize God made all this. I like to look at the Dipper. My dad used to talk, show me where the small Dipper and the big Dipper is. Back when I was a child, and they're still up there. And I just enjoy looking at the stars. And I say, God, how great thou art. In Genesis verse 16 there, and God made two lights, one to rule the day and a lesser one to rule the night. He made the stars also. It almost seems like he put that in as an afterthought. He made the stars, he made the moon, and he also made the stars. He made the sun, and he made the moon, and he also made the stars. And you know, as I think about how great God is, as I think about the stars, it just totally blows me away how many stars. I'm not going to ask any more questions about how many stars there are, because most of us don't know, and scientists don't know how many stars there are either. But I just want you to think about how great our God is, the God that deserves our worship. Too many times we worship the creature versus the creator. And it's not about me, it's not about you, it's all about him, that we worship him. We worship God in a deeper, deeper way. Oh, and I got my notes here. You're talking about how far the sun was away from the earth. 9.3 million miles away. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. 93. Is that what you said? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it's what you said. I just see it on my notes now, so our notes chime, okay? The sun is 93 million miles, because no one's been there, but we're looking at the same information. Sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. Okay. And there's a, you know, when you look at stars, you see this star, you can actually see stars, and sometimes you see stars, just a whole bunch of, like, they call them cluster stars, where there's a whole bunch of stars together. You really can't make them apart from each other. And by the way, how big is a star? That's something I was looking up. How big is a star? A star, we're talking about how big the sun is. The sun is about the average size of a star. There's hundreds of stars. There's a lot of stars larger than the sun, but there's also a lot of stars smaller than the sun. So the sun is an average on how big a star is, okay? Because there's a lot bigger and a lot smaller. But anyhow, they're between 1 billion and 2 trillion galaxies in our heavens. Between 1 billion and 2 trillion galaxies in our heavens. And how many stars are in each galaxy? Did you catch that? Between 1 billion and 2 trillion galaxies in the sky. And there's between 10 million and 1 trillion different size galaxies. Between 10 million to 1 trillion stars in each galaxy. Between 10 million and 1 trillion stars in each galaxy. And they're up to 2 trillion galaxies. So we just can't comprehend that, okay? So we have, the reason I'm saying is God made the stars by speaking the word, and the stars appeared in the heavens. Guys, how great our God is. Creation, God over and over says creation itself speaks on how great and how awesome God is. And and there's a... here somewhere. How many stars there's in the galaxy? I believe there's anywhere from... here we are. I believe it's 400 billion stars in the main galaxy. 400 billion stars in the main galaxy. With all that said, just saying we serve an awesome God. We serve a big God. A God that knows everything. A God that created the earth. A God that created you and me. You know, and then we go on in Genesis 2. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils and the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Can you imagine God just breathing, taking dust? This is God taking dust, put together, and breathing into us. You know, I think that's amazing, but I think the next verse is even more amazing. I'm not sure one's more amazing than the other, but the second verse I always think is even more amazing. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one rib and closed the flesh thereof. And out of the rib which the Lord had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto man. God took one rib out of the man and he made a woman out of a rib. Can you imagine that? God taking a rib, he didn't add anything else to it. He just took a rib and he made a man out of a rib. And I think, you know, that itself has, it's amazing because God wants man and woman to be one. So he takes one rib and he says, I'm going to take this rib and I'm going to make a woman for the man. So he didn't add a lot of other stuff. But that's how God is. He just blows everything he does. He just blows your mind. He's so amazing, so big. Like, how did you do that, Lord? How did you do that? And you know, that's what God still wants to do. He wants to blow our mind in how he can bless us, how he can guide us, how he can lead us. And you know, sometimes we think we're in situations. We say, God, how are you going to get me through this situation? Believe me, Roy, he's dealt with a lot bigger situation than your situation, or your eyes, you know, or your health, or maybe your cancer, whatever. God's dealt with many much bigger situations than the situations we're living in. Or maybe it's a marriage, broken homes, or marriage, or broken relationship. God's used to dealing with huge situations, and God wants to mend those situations. There's nothing too big for God. I mean, we're just looking at what God's doing, we're like, there's nothing too big for God. He takes a rib and makes a man out of it. He makes a woman out of a rib. And the two become one flesh. You know, that's just amazing. That's a totally another subject, but how the two are one flesh. Amen. In Isaiah, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. as high as the heavens is above the earth. God saying his thoughts, his ways are much greater than our thoughts or our ways. You know, so my encouragement is, let's trust the Lord. Regardless of what situation we're going through, you know, whether it's a church situation, a relationship situation, or health issues, trust the Lord. The Lord's used to these big situations. His ways are much higher than our ways. We don't need to figure it out. We need to say, God, you guide me. You lead me. You're amazing. You're awesome. You made the sun that 101.3 million Earth would fit in. You're the one that made that sun. You made the planets to turn. You put all the stars out there. God, you take care of my situation. You know, it's amazing to think how amazing God we serve. We're not just serving some God that somebody made or came up with. He's still serving us. God so great that we can't even wrap our minds around it. It's so amazing, so great. In Isaiah 66, thus saith the Lord, the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye shall build unto me? And where is my place of rest? Can you imagine that? Heaven is his throne, and the earth here is his footstool. Let's make a house for God, okay? How are we going to make a house for God? We got any carpenters here? How are we going to make a house for God? Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. We serve an amazing, large God. He's serving an amazing, awesome, and wonderful God. Yet God is so interested in each one of us. He knows the very hair on your head. And you know, how in control are you, brother? You can't make one hair white or black, can we? Now, we can't make one hair white or black. Sometimes we try to dye them, you know what I mean? People try to make them all kinds of colors. But the long and short is, we can't make one hair white or black, you know? I'm starting to get gray hair, and it just kind of comes by himself, and nothing I can really do about it, and I can, unless I want to dye them or something, but they still keep coming white. You know what I mean? We can't make one hair white or black, but God is in control. So may we just trust our hand into his and say, God, you guide me. You lead me. We can't make one hair red or white or black, but you've got this. You've got this. Yeah, so how are we going to make a house for God? God, it's beyond our imagination. So we can't make a house for God. So the only thing we can do is let's be the house of God. Let God come and dwell in us, just guiding us, leading us, filling us. Say, God, you control my life. We can't build a house for you. So the best house we can build is, I want to be that house that you come and you totally control my house. That I want to use my life just to worship you, to glorify you, and to exalt the name of Jesus. And Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. This is what we got through talking about, the heavens. Look at the heavens at night, tonight, when it is nice and clear. Go out and look at the stars and say, God, you made all those stars. There are so many billions of them, it blows my mind. The sun's so amazing, it blows my mind. Everything you do blows my mind, and even your love for me blows my mind. Lord, I always want to serve you. I'm going to walk with you. I want to worship you. You know, when we come to service here, you know, it's not just about leading the song service. It's about worshiping in the song service. It's not just about moderating the service. It's about worshiping, leading in worship. It's not just about a 10-minute opening. It's about 10 minutes of worship. It's not about the main message. It's about worship. You know, too many times it's easy to go through life and kind of get everything 1, 2, 3, and we lose the spirit of worship. And that's what I want to encourage here at Joy in my heart, in my life. I have got worship in my life, but, you know, I think I got about this much worship in my life, and I think we need this much worship in my life. To be, you know, take it to the next level. Taking worship to the next level. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. In Psalms 33, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, For his praise is commonly for the upright. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God's breath spoke all the stars into heaven, the sun into heaven. It says by his breath is how he created the heavens. It just amazed me how by his breath he made the stars. That's the God I serve. That's the God that's my God. That one I want to bow down before and worship my creator. The one that's in control. That one that can control everything I do. Let all the inhabitations of the world stand in awe of him. Amen. You know, when people look at the stars, they stand in awe. They can't count them all. As they get stronger telescopes, they see stars behind those stars and stars behind those stars. And they're like, there's no way. We can't count them all. Even the sciences, when they look at the heavens, they stand in awe. It's like, we have no numbers. We have nothing to describe it. It's beyond our wildest imagination. That's how God is. Beyond our wildest imagination. Amen. Psalms 50, and the heavens shall declare the righteousness, for God is a judge of himself. Heavens declare the righteousness of God. Heavens declare the righteousness of God. Okay, I'm going to twist it just a little bit now and come a little bit more into worship. You know, God is amazing. He's great. He's beyond what I can say, like as far as the stars and the sun. But now let's worship him. Come, let us worship. Let us bow down before him. Let us kneel before our Maker. You know, sometimes I think we get away from it here in church. You know, Brother Anthony, he had spoke on worship 2 weeks ago, I think it was. I told Anthony, I said, Anthony, you stole my message. I want to speak about worship. He said, well, there's enough room to speak on worship in 2 weeks again. So, Anthony, you don't mind, we'll build on what you were sharing 2 weeks ago, okay? Let me read the verse again. Oh, come, let us worship him. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before our Maker. You know, sometimes I think we as a church, sometimes we almost get away from it. I remember years ago when I was growing up, every Sunday we would kneel down in church and pray. And sometimes we would kneel down twice. And like Anthony mentioned, you know, it's something when you kneel before someone, you're humbling yourself before someone or before a king. I think we get away sometimes from humbling ourselves before God. We should kneel before our Maker. I'm not saying we need to always kneel all the time, but we need to have that heart of kneeling before our Maker. Amen. Have that heart of kneeling before our Maker. Revelation 4:11. Worthy art thou, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Everything that we see is being created by God. You know, I remember as a youth, I was 7 or 8 or 9, and after church, a pastor took us out, a whole bunch of his kids out in the woods, and he said, see, you can see anything that God didn't make, you know? And if you see anything that God didn't make, you get it. I forget what it was, $1 or something. So we were all over the woods, and we're looking at this, and we're looking at trees. No, God made that. God made this. God made that. You know, the answer was, everything we've seen in the woods is things that God made. God is our Maker. Everything we have, it's like it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In Chronicles, ascribe unto the Lord glory due to his name. You know, there's glory due to his name. Too many times we don't give God the glory that's due to his name. We just say, oh, see what I have done. See my second farm, my third farm. You see my business, see this. No, let's give God glory due to His name. Let's put our confidence, our happiness in God. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him with worship. And come and worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. In Chronicles. Come to worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Is that how we come to the Lord? In splendor and holiness. God, we want to worship You. We love You. Serve You. Lord, we want to give it our all to You. In Revelations, and all the angels were standing around about the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and all fell to their face before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. You know, let me see here. And then Revelations 4 verse 10, and the 24 elders fell down before Him who was seated upon the throne and worshiped Him who liveth forever and ever, casting their crowns before Him. You know, as I think about casting our crowns, things that are, they had crowns on their head, they cast them before God. When you come in the presence of God, the best you have looks vile, really, because God is so much holier. So even the crowns of gold they cast before God, because they're not worthy to have the crowns of gold, because God, give God all honor and glory. So that's my encouragement for us. Let's give God all honor and glory. Let's take our crowns and cast them before Him. Things that are valuables. I mean, yes, our health, our family, our children, our valuables. Let's cast them before God and say, God, they're all Yours. You have given them to me, but I'm giving them back to You. You know, let God be in control of your family, your children, your wife, your marriage. Take your valuables and cast them. Your future, young people, your future. Say, God, here it is. It's all for You, for Your honor and glory. If You want me to get married, I want to do that. I want my life to be for Your honor and for Your glory. Your marriages, our homes. It's for the Lord. It's for Your honor and Your glory. Take what you have and cast it before God. And God will bless you for that. Too many times we hold on to the things. These things are mine. These things are mine. But let's give God our all. Let's give God our all. And I'd like to turn to Acts. You can turn there with me if you don't mind. Acts 16 as a good example. All these scriptures are real familiar to everybody, but it just blessed me so much. As I'm thinking about people that serve God and good examples, keeping Christ first. Talking about Paul and Silas. Acts 16, starting. I'll start in verse 19. Let me see here. Starting in verse 23. And we're talking about Paul and Silas. I'm going to keep it rolling a little bit. And when they had laid hands, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into first. Hang on a second. First they were out preaching the gospel. They told them to quit preaching the gospel. But Paul and Silas said, is it right that we obey man? We should be obey God. And he kept on preaching the gospel. And the authorities caught Paul and Silas and they beat him and commanded them not to speak. So they caught him, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such charges, thrust them into the inner prison and put their feet in and fastened them in stocks. So first they took Paul and Silas. It says they gave them many stripes. So you know, when they used to use whips, they whip them, so they cut into their flesh, and they gave them many stripes because they were preaching the gospel. and he cast them into the inner prison. It seemed like that would be enough to cast them into the inner prison, but instead they said, make sure that their feet are in stocks as well. Make sure they don't get away. As I think of praying and worshiping, I think of this. Who having received such charges, thrust them into inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Can you imagine? Here they're worshiping. We're talking about worshiping. You know, they weren't at church worshiping. They were in prison worshiping. It was midnight. Probably people thought, well, can you tone down a little bit? It's time to go to bed. You know, it's midnight. No, at midnight, Paul and Silas were worshiping. And they were praising. It said they were singing songs and praising. And it was so loud that people around them heard them praising God and singing songs. Can you imagine? They were all beat up in the middle of prison and their feet in stocks. And they were praising and saying, praise the Lord, singing and praising. Now, that's what I call worship. They were singing and praising at the middle of the night. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So we hear, you know, this earthquake didn't happen by itself. God was watching them. God was in control. And suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were open. And everyone's band was loose. You know, I was thinking, even though they had stocks, the earthquake probably shook the concrete or whatever is so bad that the pins probably came right up. And now all of a sudden the doors were open. It's more than an earthquake could do. God was there. Because they were praising and they were worshiping God, and God answered. Amen. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword that he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had all fled. But Paul cried loud, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas. And he brought them, saying, sirs, what must we do to be saved? You know, when there's true worship, when there's true worship going on, people see the power of God. People will say, what must I do to be saved? Too many times we lack worship in our own hearts, in our churches, and people really ain't convicted. But when there's true worship going on, the power of God moves, people will say, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Can you imagine the prisoner here? He's there to watch Paul and Silas, make sure they don't get out, and all of a sudden they're wanting to be saved. And he brought them out and said, sir, what must we do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You know, Paul and Silas didn't make it real complicated. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your house. You know, us husbands, when we're saved, we affect our children, don't we? Our decisions affect our children. When we're on fire, when we're worshiping, our children will start to worship. Our children will praise. Here he says, not just the jailer was saved, but his family, because the father affects the rest of the children. So I want to encourage you, fathers, you be worshiping. You be filled with the Spirit of God. Your children will worship. Your children will follow your examples. And he spake unto him the words of the Lord and all the words that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and baptized them all straightways. Can you imagine that? He washed their, they were still all bloody because they had been beaten up. He washed their stripes off, and he baptized the jailer, and because they were worshiping. They seen the power of God there. And that's what we need to see in our homes, in our churches. The power of God. The power of God. And when they had all brought them into the house, he sat before them, and they rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I like that, with all his house. Not just the jailer got saved, but all his house got saved. Amen. That's totally amazing. That's totally amazing. I'd like to turn to Luke. Another very familiar scripture in Luke 17. Now this didn't turn out all quite like that, but we have both examples, okay? This is where sometimes we find ourselves. This is where we need to be realistic. In Luke 17, verse 12, "And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Here we see all 10 of them. All 10 of them were serious. They said, "Hey, Master, have mercy on us." They lifted up their voices. They didn't just say, "Hey, Jesus, could you have mercy on us?" They lifted up their voices. They were panicking, I believe. I believe they seen it as an emergency. They lifted up their voices and yelled, I believe, and saying, have mercy on us. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show thyselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back again with a loud voice, glorified God." It says one of them returned back and glorified God. You know, one out of the 10, that's only 10% of them came back and glorified God. It says, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And this was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? For they are not found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger." You know, Jesus knew 10 were cleansed. He knew all 10 were. He's like, "Where are the other 9? One Samaritan came back, and he fell at Jesus' feet, and he was thanking the Lord, and he was worshiping. But the other 9, I think they were cleansed. They probably were happy too. You know, sometimes we're like the 9. We're so happy. We've been born again. We're walking with God. But we just kind of keep on going. We keep on going. We have so many things to do. We don't have time to worship sometimes. We have so much to do. We're like the other 9. We're so happy. But Jesus is saying, "We're the other 9. We're the ones that were saved, that were cleansed." You know, we as God's people have been cleansed, but only some of us really know how to worship God. The other are, we're so busy rejoicing and being happy and doing their own thing. And the nine didn't really know what true worship was. But say the one Samaritan, says he came and he fell on his face and he gave thanks. I trust that it's us. We've been washed. We've been cleansed. We come daily back to Jesus. And we fall on our face and we say, "God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for your love and your mercy. God, you're so awesome. You're so great." You know that we would be more like Paul and Silas at midnight, praying and worshiping at midnight. And then through his testimony, a whole bunch of others were saved because we were praying and worshiping. May we as fathers lead out in that prayer and worship in our homes, in our churches, to be those prayer warriors. You know, we have decisions to make every day. You know, how are we going to glorify God today? In my life, what can I do to glorify God? In my family devotions, in my prayer life. You know, our prayer and worship sometimes may look different than others. Sometimes it may be lifting up hands and praying and worship. Each one of our prayer life might be a little different. Our worship might be a little different. You know, when Job lost everything, he fell on his face and he worshiped God. I think his worship looked a little bit different than maybe Paul and Silas did possibly. But he was praying and worshiping. He was getting closer to God. So even though we may not all walk around praising God with our hands up, we may not be as dynamic as Paul and Silas were, but God's looking at us and he say, "Are you giving it all you've got? Are you praying and worshiping? Are you bringing your family with you like the jailer did there?" All his whole household were saved. He brought his family along too, and they were washed and cleansed. And his whole family was baptized that night. Like I said, we might not be that dynamic, but we need to spend more time in worshiping and praising. You know, when the church Sunday mornings we come in here, all of us have been worshiping all day, there's going to be a sense of prayer and worship when we start our services. And it was a blessing this morning. Actually, Aaron texted me about, why don't you meet us and pray in the prayer room? Come back here and the prayer room's full. Thank you, Jesus. It would be like that always. So the prayer room would be full. People praying for the service. People praying for our families, our marriages, our home. Because too many times we don't have time to pray. We don't have time for this. But prayer is actually a shortcut. You invite God to take control, take charge. I mean, we're talking about how great God is. Let God control some of your family issues, marriages, relationships. Bring God into the picture, things will roll much smoother. Amen. And it's my desire just to, I know we all worship, to take our worship to the next level. Let's start off with our personal worship. Let's take it to the next level. Let's be like Paul and Silas. It don't matter if it's midnight. Let's worship. Even if it's midnight, let's worship. When God heals us, we pray. So many times we pray for something and God answers. Then we're like the nine. We just keep on going, hey, God answered my prayer. Amen. We keep going. No. Let's come back and kneel at His feet and worship God, our Maker. Amen. It's just my desire that each one of us would take our worship to the next level. We all worship, and I enjoy the service here at Joy. I enjoy the brotherhood. But can I say, let's take it to the next level. Let's worship our amazing God, the one who created the sun, the one who made the stars, the one whose throne is in heaven, the earth is his footstool. We worship something worthwhile. All these earthly things are going to take wings and fly away. Let's worship our Maker, something that's way beyond our comprehension almost. Let's worship our Maker. And that's as fathers, like the jailer there. May we be saved, and may our whole house be saved and experience the power of God. Okay, I'd like just to close in prayer, and we could all just stand up for a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you. Lord, I believe you've laid this on my heart to share this. And I just pray that everyone that's standing, Lord, that they would worship in a deeper way. Lord, that they would be like the one Samaritan that came back and he fell on his face and he worshiped you, Lord. Father, that each one of us would see how we've been cleansed, how we've been healed. We come before your throne and we just fall before your throne and worship you. Or like the jailer, Lord, that how he took responsibility. He said, what must I do to be saved? And him and his whole house were saved. Father, just do pray that every man that's standing in here, that their whole families would be saved, every one of them. Experience the power of God like the jailer did. And Father, we just invite you in the midst of the church here, Joy. Lord, that there would be truly more and more a spirit of worship as we think of our amazing Maker that we serve, the one who made the stars, the heavens, the one who laid down his life that we might live. Lord, we owe you. You are everything. We just want to say, Lord, we surrender it all to you. Father, we want to cast our crowns before you. Things you've given us, things that are valuable. Lord, we want to cast them before you, our family, our friends, our wife, and say, Lord, they're all yours for your honor and glory. Lord, we want to surrender our life to you. And Lord, we just want to worship you in a fresh, meaningful way. Lord, you take charge of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.